My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop. All right, guys, welcome back. Before we start, we gotta let you know, we got a lot of requests to extend the sale for EYL University.
We heard y'all.
And it was supposed to get shut down on January 1, but as you know, EYL University, or as you might not know, it's actually ending as its current form, and graduate school will begin. So we was planning on launching the graduate school January 1st, ran into some technical difficulties, had to make sure everything was right with the website and all that. So we pushed it back a week. So you guys still have 7 days to join at the current price. The price may double, may triple.
Nah, we ain't even maying it.
May quadruple. We
definitely
never know.
Going
but it's going to be completely revamped, though. It's going to be a different situation. But EYL University includes over 100 past webinars, weekly webinars, access to our movie club, access to our book club, access to our Facebook group, bi-weekly real estate calls with MG, the mortgage guy, and once a month financial planning calls with me. All of that is included in the EYL University membership. So if you're interested, you can go to EYLUniversity.com right now and enter promo code EYL at checkout for 40% off. You got 5 days. All right, so now we're going to go into what everybody's been waiting for. We're going to break down cryptocurrency. Before we go into cryptocurrency, we got to tell a story.
Yeah.
We'll tell our own personal story about crypto.
We're all involved.
Yeah. So if you listen to the podcast, you know that A, our theme is transparency. We tell, you know, our real stories in real life, and our guests tell their real stories. And we also have the slogan of All Money In. Shout out to Nip, rest in peace.
Yep.
But it's real because we really tried everything. At one point in time, we literally tried everything.
Yeah. Like no exaggeration.
Yeah. Like we tried everything.
We just kept like, hey, listen, something's gonna work.
So all right. So here's the story on cryptocurrency, right? So 2017, right? The draft. We gotta take it back to the draft of 2017. So Donovan Mitchell, shout out to Donovan Mitchell, right? Hometown hero. And we were at the Barclays Center. Because we're good friends with his family, mm-hmm. and they invited us, and we were at the suite when he got drafted.
Shout out to the Mets.
Yeah. Once again, the Knicks screwed that up and didn't draft him.
Yeah, but we were sitting there like, you know, the Knicks had a chance to do it. He worked out for them. Dad was like, I think he got a chance, and nope.
That's what
we do. Frank Ntilikina.
They didn't draft him, but he got drafted by Utah. But anyway, we was there with his family, and one of our good friends, Inez, shout out to Inez, so her kid went to a private school, and one of his friends, this is why networking is so important, right? People that you meet. His friend was like a 20-year-old kid, right? Sure. And I just met him, and we were just talking randomly. He's like, what do you do for a living? I'm a financial advisor. So we just started talking. Mind you, he's 20 years old at this time. I think he's like a freshman, a sophomore in college, something like that. Yeah. And he's telling me, he's like, you know, I just bought this Ethereum. He's like, I put $20,000 into Ethereum. You know, I said I put $10,000 into Ethereum like 5 months ago, and it went to $100,000. I cashed out. He said, my friend put $100,000 into Ethereum. It went to $1 million. He cashed out. He started a hedge fund.
What is 20 years?
I don't even think he was. He might not have been 20. I think he was 18.
Like 19 or something like that.
He got the money as a graduation gift,
I believe. Well, you know that. And that's the power of family.
Of course.
Right? He wasn't from our community. That's for damn sure.
But, yeah, I already knew that story.
But so when he told me that, I told Jamal, I'm like, well, we got, like, what's this? Like, this, because I heard about cryptocurrency, I heard about Bitcoin, but I didn't really hear about Ethereum.
Yeah.
I'm like, hold up, wait, like, what's going on here? And that's when I started studying it, but I still was kind of apprehensive.
Sure.
So then I see Bitcoin, I'm just studying it, I'm just a student of the game. And, like, October, I see Bitcoin just start climbing. It went from like 6,000 to 7,000. No, it went from like 3,000 to like 4,000 to like 5,000. So then I called my man, shout out to Jason Lewis. I called him, and he's a Bitcoin expert. And I'm like, okay, tell me everything I need to know about cryptocurrency. And he educated me for 2.5 hours. And I asked every single question that I could. I asked like 1,000 questions. Every question I had, he educated me on it. And that was like around November. It was late October. No, it was November.
It was November.
So I'm like, all right, cool. So I found out this app called Coinbase where you can buy cryptocurrency, right? So he educated me. He was telling me about the three biggest currencies at that time, which is Litecoin, Bitcoin, and
Ethereum.
So he's telling me about it. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to put my money in. I put $6,000 in. I told the group chat, I told the guys, I'm like, look, I put $6,000 in. I spread it across those three coins. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not telling y'all to do this. This is money that I feel comfortable losing.
Yeah.
Because it's a risk. Like, I feel comfortable losing it if I lose it. But I don't know what's going to happen. So then me and Jamal, we go to Asia for a month, right?
This is now December.
Went to Asia for 20 days. December 1st, we left for 20 days.
Look,
we
don't let that go over your heads. 20 days.
Now, I let a life you can write a book on. I'm going to write a book soon down the line.
Slight stunt.
But we went to Asia with a return ticket. We went with a ticket there and a ticket back and two nights in Bangkok. That's it for 20 days. We was going to figure it out as we went. We just winged it. We went to five different countries. We was just winging it. As we were literally winging it. Like, we were buying hotels at the airport. We was just figuring it out day to day. So I'm in Asia, and it just so happened, as fate would have it, I brought into the crypto space like 1 week before it started to skyrocket. Yeah, if anybody's not familiar, December of
2017
is legendary in crypto world. Like, everything went up like 1,000%, 100%. Like, it was crazy. So long story short, I'm in Asia, and I had $6,000 invested. Every single day I'm waking up, and I'm just getting $500, $600 more dollars. It's going up. 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. It's just
dopamine.
Yeah,
nah,
it's crazy.
Now we're not sleeping.
Yeah, I'm out in Thailand, and I'm more focused on that than anything. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, I'm about to make $1 million before summer. So then Troy starts. So I'm telling the guys, I'm like, I'm sending them screenshots. Like, I don't know what y'all doing, but right. I'm getting money out here. So Troy's like, he starts studying it. Like, one thing about Troy, he's good with research. So he starts studying it. Like, he's up all night.
Team no sleep.
And he starts telling me about all these other coins, Tron, and all of these different things. And but meanwhile, I'm thinking I'm doing good because I'm going up like 100%, 300%, 400%. He's like, that's not enough. He's like, yeah, you earning, but that's not enough. These other coins are going up 1,000%, 3,000%. He's like, you got to come home. Like, I never figured I was in Hong Kong. I was in Hong Kong, and he called me.
Like, come home. This is like fact, right? So I heard about Bitcoin prior to all this, right? Because I was in the music downloading services, right?
I feel you.
So at that time, the U.S. had said, early 2000, they were like, yo, they're going to prohibit illegal downloads, right? So people started coming up with web sharing sites like Mega Upload, Rapid Share. If anybody downloaded music, you know those sites. And one of the things as far as payment was Bitcoin, right? And there's no way that the government could track you. So I'm like, all right. That sounds pretty cool. And then I never heard about it again, right? People were using it. I kept seeing it. I never heard about it until like November. And Shai's like, yo, I'm putting money in. Like, he's like 2 weeks from leaving. I'm like, hey, whatever. And then, like he said, he started texting us. I'm like, yo, he actually made some money. So now it's like, nah, I got to figure this out. So he leaves. And I'm like, still trying to figure this out. I'm studying it. And like, I'll never forget, I read this article on this dude, Justin Sun, who created Tron, TRX.
Yep.
And so I'm like, wow, this guy has a vision for currency. Like, he's going to do it through video games. And right, I'm thinking like, wow, like Gods of War. Like, these are these games where it's like, it's not real money anymore. Like, people are actually using currency inside of games. It's like how before Fortnite,
of course,
it was like, yo, we'll give you the game for free, but you'll buy things in it. And I'm like, all right, well, how do I get this, right? So after I start studying it, right, I knew Coinbase. And I'm like, there's got to be more to this, right? Because I can't even find TRX on Coinbase.
Right.
And so I study it, and then I hit this company called Binance. Mm-hmm. And when I went to buy, I'm telling you, it was like 3 a.m. I had to wait because they were on like, y'all 12 hours ahead? How many hours?
Yeah, it was like 12 hours.
I waited. I said, listen, get Jamal, y'all got to come home. Like, I was like, yo, book a flight back. I found something.
Nah, that's a fact.
We found something.
Yeah, he kept talking about Tron. He was like, this Tron. I'm like, I don't know, man, about Tron.
Like less than a cent.
You know, it's funny. Yo, little do you know, you were like in the home of Tron.
Yeah, exactly.
He was actually in the right spot. He just had to find that community where he was at.
It was crazy. I remember it was Hong Kong? Were you in Hong Kong?
I was in Hong Kong.
Because I remember in the background was all these lights.
That was Hong Kong.
I was like, yo, come on.
Jamal almost died in Hong Kong.
That's another story.
Different story for a different day. He almost died. But I was in Hong Kong by myself, and I had all these lights in the background. You like, come home. I'm like, I'm in Asia. I'm having the time of my life out here.
Come home right now.
So we came home, And when I got home, the first thing I did, I came to his house, and he educated me on how to like buy coins. It's a whole process. We're gonna talk about that.
Yes.
But how to buy coins, how to put the money in, all that stuff, right?
Market caps, all that.
So then so anybody that knows me know that I kind of have an addictive personality. I've never done any drugs in my life, and I'm a light drinker, but I'm very compulsive. It's worked out a lot of times. It's been very bad for me a lot of times as well. But I make very compulsive decisions. So when I started making money, and I'm like, okay, so now I educated myself on what we call altcoins. We'll explain that later too.
Yeah.
So then I just started rolling the dice. I started like buying coins and doing all, and it was crazy. So by like the first week in January, my 6,000 grew to 28,000.
Yep.
$28,000 in a month. 6,000 to 28 in a month. And I'm feeling like Warren Buffett, like invincible.
We said it to ourselves. We're like, yo, if we don't make 100,000 by June, we did something wrong.
No, I was feeling invincible. I told you, I was planning on making 800,000 in crypto for that year.
We calculated it.
I did the calculations, I did the whole thing. Everything fell apart.
Not yet.
No, it did.
No. Early January, it went down, but then it came back like late January. We're like, all right, we're back. We're back.
Right.
In February.
No, it fell apart. February, and I put more money in because I'm like, all right, now I'm about to dip. And then it fell apart again. And I put more money in. I said, I'm going to buy this dip. And then it just completely collapsed. And yeah.
He gave up on the space.
Yeah. So, yeah, but
like I said this, though. I said, look, if it was going to die, it would have. Right. And one of the things I heard that was powerful to me is the CEO of Ripple said this. He was like, the reason that this is going to work is because if you think about money, right? What's the fastest way to get $100,000 from San Francisco to London? What do you think?
It's crypto.
He was like, the fastest way in today's society, right? 2018 at the time.
Oh, it's a flight.
It's to get on a plane and fly with that money to London. How is that working in the world of technology?
Right.
That's why Ripple and all these other altcoins and Bitcoin, that's why it's going to work. And when he said that, I'm like, nah, I don't care. This is going to go down. This is not going anywhere.
Sure.
And so like one of the things we did too, and Rashad, we for sure, it was like, we were like, look, we're not letting anybody get left on the boat. Like if they missed the cyber bubble, right, in the 90s, right, if that is this, we got to make sure that we get the Google. We got to make sure that we get Amazon and we don't get stuck with Excite.com.
Right.
But we're not leaving anybody. So I was like, yo, call everybody you know. Like we're going to call everybody we know so we can tell them how this works and teach them. And like, we made mad phone calls and it was like, yo, nobody wants to learn.
Nah, people ain't playing.
It was like, nah, I'm good.
But all right, so now we gave you my story. It's a tragic story.
But, it's a learning point.
So, all right, so can we talk about crypto? Let's start 101, right? What is cryptocurrency?
So cryptocurrency is it's a digital asset that lives on the internet that has value. And where does the value come from? It comes from people saying it has value, right? And it's that simple. And it's that simple, but it's also that fickle based on what you just said, right? And the question is, like, a lot of people say, all right, how is it a currency? How is anything a currency? Anything is a currency because currency is not backed by anything.
Yeah,
right? It's a belief, right? And it's a belief that if more people believe that it's going to go up in the future, then more people buy. It's a supply and demand thing, and that's what kind of moves it. But yes, it's a digital asset that lives on the internet, and you could transfer it without any middleman. So you don't need the experience is similar to like a Venmo experience or a Zelle experience or whatever Cash App experience.
So P2P.
But you don't have Cash App in the middle. What's in the middle is actually a community of people that validate every transaction.
And it's so
that's the definition of the blockchain.
Yes, it's validated by the blockchain, exactly.
So cryptocurrency, but the name is a little deceiving because it's not really being used as currency right now. It's more so of an investment, right?
Right. So it's an investment because due to the way it's moved, and Bitcoin being the first cryptocurrency, it's moving up and down just based on the story you just said. People don't want to use it as a currency. It's made to be a currency. It's made to allow people to move money back and forth. But because of the way it's structured, so Bitcoin is structured in a way where there's a limited supply, right?
Was it 17 million?
It's 17 million now, but the max is 21 million.
Okay.
So people are anticipating at that point that it's going to be worth a lot. And so it's kind of transferred from a currency to more of a digital gold.
So it's like it's being viewed as a commodity.
In the store. Right. Store value.
That's exactly right. Right.
So that's what Jason told me. Yeah. So, all right, because this is something that's interesting. So people say like, well, cryptocurrency is in thin air. It's not physical. It's not backed by anything. And I say neither is the American dollar.
Right. That's right.
American dollar used to be backed by gold. But I think in Nixon, he changed it.
He removed the gold standard.
Yeah. He removed the gold standard. So now the American dollar, like most all dollars all over the world, is only backed by the faith within America. So talk about America. American dollar is only backed by the faith of the people.
Right.
People think that it's worth what it's worth. So at any point in time when the vast majority of people think the American dollar isn't worth anything, it's not worth anything anymore.
Right. Because, I mean, like you said, with Bitcoin, there's a limited supply. Once it gets to 21 million, there's no more, right? So the value of that will go up, obviously, right? Exactly. So that's why you get those projections. Like right. Bitcoin will be worth $500,000 for one coin.
Right.
Whereas a dollar, they can make a million of those every second exactly of the right. day. So like, what's the real value?
Right.
And So Bitcoin, that's what most people have heard about Bitcoin,
when they
right?
think cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin is the first crypto, the granddaddy of cryptocurrency by Satoshi Nakamoto.
That's right.
Anybody found him yet?
Nobody found him. There's a lot of people claiming it.
Yeah, nobody knows.
This is the real Waldo right here.
Satoshi Nakamoto. Did I say that correctly?
That was good, bro. I'll give you some credit. That was good.
If anybody's not familiar, the whole crypto thing is crazy. If anybody's not familiar, the guy's a legend. Nobody even knows if he actually ever really existed, or if he's a group of people, or if he's one person, or if he's still living. Who knows? But he's the founder of crypto.
Yeah,
right.
Because he made Bitcoin, right? Then from Bitcoin, you have thousands of cryptocurrencies now.
Over 2,000.
You have a whole bunch of different, from Ethereum to Ripple, and they all kind of serve different purposes. So you have some that are like for just music. You have, it's like all kinds of different, it's like websites now. Like you have a website for everything, and you have a cryptocurrency for everything as well.
And then you have, so like from those, right, the top three you named, Bitcoin, Ethereum, those are like platforms. So people build on those platforms. Right. So like, Ethereum, like a bunch of platforms will get built on
Ethereum. Ethereum is like a digital computer.
Right.
Right. You could build on top of it. You could, Ethereum introduced the concept of a smart contract.
Mm.
Right. A smart contract is basically a digital contract that says, if this happens, then this happens. Right. And the way I like to illustrate it is a vending machine is a smart contract. Right. Like I don't need, like I go to a corner store and get a Twizzlers. If I go to a vending machine, I put a dollar in, there's code inside a vending machine that gives me the Twizzlers immediately.
Mm.
And Ethereum takes that and makes it a whole nother level, right? If you think about the internet, most of the internet, like any website, anything, the way it works is if this then that. If I go into gmail.com and I put in my password, if the password is good, then it gives me access. If the password is not good, then it tells me you got the wrong password.
Got three more times to get this right.
Exactly. So Ethereum was the first time to take that code and put it on the blockchain, makes it decentralized. Because like what I just explained to
you, that's a key word too, decentralized. Yeah.
Right. So Google is centralized. Like it lives, like the way that the code works lives on Google servers in Mountain View in California. Obviously throughout the world, but like that is where the hub is. That vending machine, like that code is in that vending machine. But the way that blockchain and crypto is done, it actually distributes the code around the whole world or whoever wants to be a validator. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. And so it decentralizes it. It makes it democratic and it makes it limitless as well as borderless.
Yeah, that was one of those key words in that space, decentralized. And it was like, if you think about it, like a company like Google, right? Like a lot of times, and it's coming up in the news now that you know, the federal government is looking into them, but that data that's being sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like the middleman selling it, right? But like, that's one of the things with this space is like, there is no middle guy.
There's no middleman.
You know what I mean? So it makes it—
The middleman is everybody.
Right.
Well, the one thing, and that's one thing that I said. So when my first reservation, before I started investing in cryptocurrency, I made a video on Instagram and it was my reservations on Bitcoin, right? Because everybody kept asking me my feelings about Bitcoin. And I said this, what I said was, I think it's a good idea in theory. And I think that is dope, but my biggest fear is that governments control currency. And at any point in time, when governments feel that they don't have full control of the currency or it's not benefiting them, then they'll stop it. one of the reasons why cryptocurrencies really fell in 2018 is because governments across the world cracked down on them. It's hard.
China, South Korea.
Yep.
They just said we're not. You can't trade. And then, like, if you were in the United States, like, and this was, we ran into this problem too. It was like we couldn't buy on certain exchanges. So, like, one of those things, like you said, like, as far as like stocks, you can go to different exchanges. Right. Same thing with the this space, right? There was like Binance was the number one. But we had Cryptotopia? MetaDox, all these other ones. Like, some of them we couldn't buy because we were US citizens.
Right.
So we had to drive.
You couldn't buy ICOs. Right. Especially.
ICO is the equivalent of an IPO. So, like, that's an initial coin offering. So when these companies are coming up with ideas, right, they need funding for it, they make an ICO.
I think it's important to illustrate why so many coins could exist. So it's over 2,000 cryptocurrencies now. You could actually create an EYL token tomorrow.
Right.
The reason why is because the currency is code, and the code is open source. So I could go and actually see how Bitcoin works, and I could actually create I could change the B to F and make it Fitcoin and Fritzcoin.
That's the white paper.
That's the white paper, right? So that's how it started. That's how Satoshi Nakamoto, the group or whoever this individual is, that Bitcoin was introduced through the introduction of a white paper. And the white paper basically was like this code / business plan that said how it works, how the code works. And everybody could see it. Everybody could see exactly how it works. So anybody could pick it up and copy it, right? But just because you pick it up and copy it doesn't mean that people are going to follow you. So you need a community behind it too.
Yeah, so like that's how you get these other coins. Like if you look now on coin market cap, you'll see like a Bitcoin Gold or a Bitcoin SV. Like they'll say like, hey, we got that code from their white paper, but we're gonna make it even better.
Yeah, tweak it.
They'll tweak it.
That's why there's like a million different. And another thing that was Satoshi did was he made it open sourced. So anybody can change the code. It's an ongoing process of Bitcoin. It's changing. Anybody can really, you could change it, right?
Right.
Like it's not something that's set in stone.
Right.
He did that. So his vision, and how I see it, is that his vision was to eliminate the world banks and government from, like, he wanted to make it peer-to-peer and also open source, evolving, where it's for the people.
Well, actually, funny enough, it goes back to my story, like Lehman Brothers. He's created in 2008. It derived out of a community of libertarians, anarchists, so people that didn't trust the government. And there was a level of high distrust amongst people from the financial system in general, just because Lehman Brothers went down. And he had a community. He said, listen, I'm going to create this thing that doesn't need banks. Like, we could actually work without banks, we could work without the government, and we could transact with each other, trustless. And that's kind of where the fervor came from.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
It's ill. All right,
I'm telling you, man. We read a lot of white papers, man.
Right. So, all right. So, tax, right? Because that's what you're doing now with the tax.
Right.
So, that's another issue, because everything is so new that the government's trying to like catch up to it, right? So we know how like real estate is taxed a certain way, stocks are taxed a certain way, it's called capital gains tax. So can you explain the taxes on that? Because that's what you're working with now, right?
Right. So I work with a company called Token Tax. Mm-hmm. And so the easy explanation is like TurboTax of crypto. And so crypto, if you trade crypto, it's very hard to calculate your taxes. It's because the assumption is that, all right, I go from, let's say you're from the US, I go from dollar to crypto, and then I go from back to crypto back to dollar, that's when I have to pay taxes. But actually, when you're in the crypto world, like we said, there's about 2,000 cryptos, you could trade from crypto to crypto, and you actually have to cut all those things are taxable transactions. It's as if you, when you sell one for the other, the government actually looks at that as a sell and a buy. And also, there's other things. Like, you could actually work for crypto and get paid in crypto. That's taxable. You also buy things in crypto, and that's also a taxable transaction. So all of that is complex to calculate.
Yeah.
And so the company I work with, their software basically hooks into all the wallets, all the exchanges, and pulls in your transactions and converts the dollar equivalent. So an example is, all right, I go from dollar to Bitcoin, then I trade Bitcoin to Ethereum. Then I trade from Ethereum back to maybe Ripple, right? I didn't go back to dollars, but all those three transactions are taxable.
Mm-hmm.
because when I went from Bitcoin to Bitcoin to Ether, there I have to actually look at the USD value of Bitcoin from the each time and convert it back, even though I didn't go into dollars. So we allow that calculation.
Yeah, and the government, they just put out an article last week where they're going to start taxing. They sent out 10,000 letters to people who invested.
Yeah, so going back to how crypto started, obviously, with there's a lot of anarchist libertarians, and a lot of these people are like anti-taxes because they don't trust the government. They don't think the government's doing the right thing. And people were under the false belief that you don't have to pay taxes on crypto. But one of the things that they created was transparency in the blockchain. And so, yes, it's transparent amongst them. But IRS also see that those transactions too, right? So you actually are exposing yourself. So you actually have to pay taxes on that.
Yeah.
And what's CoinGamma?
So CoinGamma is my own media platform. So it started with an app that I built as a side project in 2015. 2017, I expanded it to a blog as well as a podcast where I interview leaders in the space. And just provide education. What we do is we write about the space, we offer educational content, we interview leaders in the space, and we're actually going to start coming up with digital courses where people could kind of
teach people.
Yeah, so I've taught some in-person classes. So I've taught in-person classes in New York City, and also I've taught at my alma mater. So I've lectured at Wharton as well as Brew College around crypto and blockchain. But I'll be doing some online courses over the next few weeks.
I got a question. So in terms, like we said, that crypto is kind of like the Wild Wild West a little bit.
Sure.
Right. So like when an exchange, and we've seen this happen a bunch of times, when an exchange completely disappears.
Right.
How does someone even recoup or try to figure out the taxes on that?
Yeah. So the IRS hasn't given clear guidance around this. So this is a disclaimer, this is not tax advice. Confirm this with your tax accountant or tax expert. But you could either, if it's an exchange, if it's a coin that because it was only on that exchange, it doesn't exist anymore, you could basically, what we've had people do is they've actually written it off at zero. And basically it's like I lost everything on it, right? But if it's something like Bitcoin that exists, but the exchange just went out, you just lost it. Like you can't really write it off, right? That's, I guess we jumped a little at levels, but we could talk about the risks. Like there's market risk, but actually just like operational risk in this space that makes it very hard to work
around. I was going to ask you, one-on-one, right? If somebody wants to start investing in cryptocurrency, right? They have $1,000 and they want to do it because it's not as easy. How do you invest in cryptocurrency?
All right. I mean, it depends where you are, but if you're in the U.S., you have to take your dollars. You have to transact on an exchange that actually takes fiat, which is dollars, and converts to crypto. Not most exchanges actually do not do that. So you mentioned Binance earlier. Binance doesn't take dollars, right? There are some major exchanges in the U.S. that take dollars and convert for you. And it's similar to like buying something on PayPal, right? So Coinbase is the most popular. Another one is Robinhood.
Robinhood, yeah.
Right?
That just happened in New York, right? We just got that like this year.
Another one is the Cash App, right? So if you use the Cash App to pay friends and family for dinner or something like that, you actually could buy Bitcoin the same way. But if you wanted to buy another cryptocurrency, if it's a cryptocurrency, so not all cryptocurrencies on every exchange. So if there's a Coinbase has a limited supply of cryptos. Same thing with the other apps I mentioned. So the Cash App, as well as the Robinhood app. But if you want to do some of the other cryptos, you actually have to basically buy the Bitcoin or Ethereum on Coinbase, then move it to the other exchange, right? And then you could transact on the exchange. And that's how people get caught up.
That's extremely complicated.
Notorious B.I.G. had a legendary line. He said, strictly for live men, not for freshmen.
Not for freshmen, right. For sure.
Cryptocurrency, don't play around with it if you don't understand what you're doing.
There's been plenty of days where we got calls like, didn't go through. What happened?
Actually, it's probably gotten more user-friendly now. I don't even look at it anymore. I have my money invested, but I don't look at it. But at one point, I was looking at it every day. But it was extremely complicated when we first got in because you had to, like you said, you can't buy cryptocurrency with American dollars. You can trade dollars for Bitcoin.
Or Ethereum
or Litecoin in Coinbase at that time.
At that time, yeah.
And then you can buy the other coins it was mainly Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Networks,
some of them you can buy with Litecoin, but most of them. So let's say you wanted to buy Tron, right?
Right.
You had to exchange American money for Bitcoin on Coinbase.
Mm-hmm.
From Coinbase, you had to send your Bitcoin to Binance.
The exchange, yep.
And it went, now it's in Binance. Then now it's in Binance. Well, now
you skip the step, because what? that the transaction speed was so slow, which is one of the things about Bitcoin. So you'd have to. So let's say you sent $1,000 or $5,000, right? It would take maybe a half hour before it even got.
Nah,
to the
Bitcoin
exchange.
Was OD. I remember one time Bitcoin took me 5 hours. I'm like, yeah. Where's the customer service? Like I'm like,
no,
what's going
service.
On? It's crazy.
That's real. Because I mean, if I was to. If I was on the Venmo or Cash App and I sent it to the wrong person, I could hit up Cash App and say, yo, I sent it to the wrong person.
Yeah, you made a mistake.
Give me a chargeback. If I sent, Bank of America and I wired the money to the wrong person, I could call Bank of America.
I made
a mistake. Because this thing is decentralized, it's owned by you and it's owned, you also,
It's in a black hole. Right. So now it's in Binance, and then from now you have to buy Tron with the Bitcoin and Binance. Mm-hmm. So it's like a three-part process. What happens is that, and then you had, so when you send it, they send you a code. It's a code that you have to put in to send it to one place to another. This is something that is extremely important. This has happened to me. It happened to me on my birthday 2 years ago. I sent $500. I was trying to buy Bitcoin Gold, or was it Bitcoin Cash? It was another Bitcoin.
It might have been Bitcoin Cash.
I was trying to buy Bitcoin Cash. But I put the code for Bitcoin.
Yeah,
long story short, I sent the wrong code. After I sent, I'm like, damn. So I go back. I'm like, I sent $500, but I sent it to the wrong address. I'm gone.
Yeah, like, nobody complained to you.
Nah, it's gone. Yeah. It's nobody to track it. It's just, it's in the universe.
It's somebody else.
It's gone. Somebody lost like 21 Bitcoins like that.
Yeah.
They lost 21 Bitcoins because they sent it to the wrong address or something. And just gone.
It's crazy, man. But like, even like that, it was like, there's so many steps to it. Like, this is not like, we weren't sleeping, like legit weren't sleeping. It was like, you know what? I'm not even going to do this transaction till the morning. But by the time you wake up, the value could have gone up by like 1,000%.
So because of that, you're probably moving so fast and frantic because you go, I got to buy this. And that leaves you open to making those mistakes.
Exactly.
Even if you are sharp.
No,
right?
I was moving like a fiend. I was moving like a fiend, because it was like, we got to do this right now. Or they just did. So I'm like halfway, like awake, trying to do this on my phone. And it's like, damn, like I didn't really have time to really think about it. But you become addicted.
Yeah.
Right.
You can. It's very addictive. Especially at that time, because there was so much money being made and it was moving so fast. And the thing with crypto is that it's 24 hours. It's like the stock market on steroids. Stock market, they close. It's way more structured. Right. Crypto is like the wild, wild west.
No sleep.
It's 24 hours a day. And you have what is called whales.
Yeah.
And these whales are like, these are like the big dogs.
They
like
the
crypto is really, it's really controlled. It's like all things, even though it was made for the people, it's only controlled by like a handful of people that have millions, billions of dollars, and they move it. They move the market so crazy.
If they sell their Bitcoin, Bitcoin's going to drop.
Exactly right.
Nah, they know what they're doing. So it's like, it's hard to day trade in that space because you get eaten up.
Right.
You get eaten up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even if you sit in front of your computer, it's like, you can't watch them all. Like, this was like no sleep before like 2 months.
Right.
Like, you'll get text messages, like our group chat, it would be like, I remember when Tron went from less than a penny to like 15 cents. I would like, the thank you text was just coming in. I'm like, I woke up like, yo, what happened? I missed it. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, because I brought Tron at 2 cents.
Yeah.
And it went to 38 cents. I think the highest that it got to was 38 cents. So that's why, like I said, when I went to swing from 6,000 to 28,000, I had a couple. I brought Ripple at like 90 cents, and I sold Ripple at like $3.15.
Wow.
So it was like the good times was rolling. The good times was rolling.
Oh,
but,
man.
All right, so can we talk about, like you said, okay, so now we got established of how to actually buy it. How do you evaluate coins? Like, how do you know which coin to buy? Like, how does somebody do that?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think the space is early. A lot of these things are moving. A lot of these things are actually pre-product, right? So a lot of these coins out there are raising money on a hope, right? They're going out there and they're pitching like a white paper, which is like their business plan. And they're saying, all right, well, if you give us some money and you'll get a coin and you will be able to use it for X, Y, and Z. And you have to study that. You have to look at the technology, right? Because a lot of these coins actually are, like you said, you took about Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Cash. There's like a bunch of Bitcoins. There's Litecoin. There's a bunch of coins that actually are trying to do exactly what the major ones are doing. And what they're doing is tweaking it and say, all right, we're going to be faster. We're going to be more secure, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And so you have to figure out whether that story resonates with you, right? So you have to study that. But most importantly, you could believe that. But because of supply and demand, is actually you need other people to believe it too, right? Like you could believe in that new Christian or Islamic religion or that new whatever religion, right? But you may be the only person at church or mosque or whatever by yourself, right? Unless you bring it, so it is very religious in certain aspects because mm-hmm. they're community aspects because the value of these assets are. Them going up, so you need more people to buy it, or they're able to be used amongst the community between each other. So if you're the only person that if you get into it and then people don't follow you or a community doesn't follow you, then they're not going to go up no matter how strong you believe it to be. So you not only have to analyze the fundamentals of it, you also have to read what other people think about it. So a lot of research is actually spending time on Twitter, spending time on Reddit, spending time on these apps like Telegram and Oof. Discord where people are talking about it and seeing what the energy is like.
Yeah.
And so it makes no sense to have to make your investment decisions based on what other people think. But in this space, it's just the way it is.
Now, they got the whole terminology like HODL.
HOLD. HODL.
Hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
To the moon was like rocket. It was like when something was going up
to
crazy.
The moon. Yeah, that was when we knew it was
to the moon. To the moon. Yeah. They call those altcoins shit coins. Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole
altcoins were just any coin outside of the top three, really.
Basically, yeah.
You know, it's a whole culture. Cryptocurrency was a whole culture.
Yeah. I mean, we studied it down to the T, right? When we started, I know Shadi when he's amazing with numbers, so he started studying the market caps for each one. And then after we saw the market caps, we saw the coin supply, right? It's like when you said that, yo, they have 21 million. That means like, yo, in this space, that's pretty limited.
Right.
But then you'll get a coin that'll come out and it's like, there's only 2,000 of it, right? Whereas like Ripple was like, what was it, 65, something like crazy, billion or something like that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So like, you can see like, hey, what's the growth on that? If there's 65 billion and it's only at, like right now, it's probably like 51 cents. It's like, well, how high can this really go? This ain't going to be a $20 coin. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's too many of them.
But here's the problem with, so, you know, we talked about the fiat currencies, like the dollar, euro, et cetera, and how there's each country, they have like a Federal Reserve that could create unlimited supply. Bitcoin doesn't have like a group of people. All these other coins actually are centralized. So they're actually a little bit more like fiat money. So yes, they could go out with a white paper that says, hey, we're gonna limit it. Mm-hmm. But there's been coins that like they were out and like the people that were behind it or the company behind it decided to just change the code.
Oh, we're gonna do more.
Like, yeah, we're gonna do more, right? And there's no, you know, that it's a wild west because there's no SEC to like stop them. There's a lot of coin, you know, in 2017, a lot of coins, you know, raised all that money and they were supposed to come out with things and they bounced, right?
A few of them took my money.
Yeah, it's scary. But like, I think one thing that, you know, Rashad talked about earlier is like, you put 6K, it's like that was what you could lose. Like, even to this day, like, I don't put money you could lose. Like, do not, at that time, I would get texts from people like, hey, like, my retirement's not right. Think about like putting money as a retirement, Bitcoin's a retirement.
Play with what you
can like, lose. Nah, only play with what you could lose.
Nah, don't play with the big boys if you're not ready, man. Because like I said, nah, it's real talk.
It's humbling.
We don't have control over this.
Yeah,
and it's very. We don't have control over anything, but especially crypto because it's very thin. It's very thin, and that's one of the things that actually got me involved. Once I saw the market cap, it was like 100. What's the market cap now?
It's probably like 200 in the 200
million, right?
No, billion.
Billion?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
we got up pretty high to like 900.
Yeah, it was supposed to hit a trillion.
But at that time, I don't think it was even at a billion at that time. I think it was like 900 million, something like that. But long story short, even where it's at now, a couple hundred billion, that's not a lot of money. That sounds like a lot of money, but that's really not a lot of money.
Nah, it's really not a lot because if you look at traditional assets, I tell people all the time, yeah, the whole crypto market is $250 billion. But guess what? Fidelity, one investment shop, has $7 trillion under assets.
No, that's a fact.
But themselves, $7 trillion, right? So like, This is a speckle.
A drop. When I first got into it, I'm like, look, it's a lot more room for it to grow because the market value is so low. And that's one of the things that made me get into it. And that's one of the reasons why I still actually hold out hope. Because I feel like...
That's why I said, if it was going to die, it would have.
No, it would have died over the last year and a half.
Exactly.
Right? Because Bitcoin went down. People were like, it's over. Like, it's a wrap. And it came back up.
Yeah.
And it's trading, kind of trading.
And we never know why. It's just people, the belief, you said. Right.
It's the belief.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.